This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The following contains graphic depictions of body horror. You are listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm. This is the final part of our story. If you have missed the other parts, you can find them on freefm.org.nz or on your favourite podcast distributor. When we last left our heroes, they had successfully slain Kavort, but not without great cost, as Kavort in turn managed to slay Artifora. Now our heroes face the aftermath of this conflict and all the change that it will bring. Give me a... just a straight intelligence check.
Good luck.
Magnus has taken the helmet off.
That's a...
solemn salute.
Yeah, that's an 11 for Tanwyn.
Good question.
I didn't do so well on that either, but...
you have no idea.
We've got to do something. Where are the other dragons?
Well, Tanwyn, I think we've done enough.
Where are the dragon waves?
Are they still up there being...
yeah, two of them look... all right. Two of them looked near dead.
Well, one of them fell down last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So two are up there. I think the two injured ones are down there somewhere.
The two are still in the sky as well. Okay. You have not heard hide or hair of the one that fell.
Oh, yeah, there was five of them.
I'm going to try and call out to them.
Sure. They ignore you.
Are they watching Artifora?
The four that survive fly off to the horizon to try and find the body of their husband.
Damn, I was hoping they'd take us with them.
As much as that's painful, I'm sure we're going to have other pressing concerns. We should probably check in with everybody else that survived to figure out what in the hell's happening.
Armadeus, can you give me a minute, please?
Sure. Sorry.
He's dead.
Damn, that's...
I can feel it.
Magnus is going to go and give Tanwyn a big armored hug.
They clank together.
Big clanky hug. Yeah.
Like when you pull out some plates from the dishwasher and they clank against
each other.
It sounds
terrible. Oh, it sounds awful.
Just metal scratching against metal.
And because it's all like enamel textured.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just making the worst noises.
There's some chainmail.
Anyone
going
who
on.
Has like tactile issues is just not enjoying this at all.
So Amadeus.
Amadeus is like, want to comfort, but also, dear God, why? Once you're done clanking together, Amadeus will offer you a very awkward.
Like a hover hand pat on the back.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to deal with this.
Thank you, guys. It's... you probably celebrate this, Armadeus, to be fair, but I don't have any magic anymore.
Why would I celebrate that?
Because if you lose your magic, it means you don't have to be tied to your patron anymore. But it means that I'm not tied to my patron anymore.
Look, just because my relationship with my patron is awkward as heck... doesn't mean that you weren't close to yours. And I know how much of a dedicated servant you were to him. So you have my condolences for whatever that's worth.
Right.
Because it's a big deal. And I'm sorry he's dead.
We should go and find the others.
Yeah.
I'm sure Amethyst is connection to him too. Yeah. I think she'll need... Anyway.
I think Amethyst will... understand if you take 5 minutes to mourn the passing.
No.
And not judge you for it.
I've already taken five. You just don't want to walk down those stairs.
Yes. However, in this instance, I'm trying to be understanding of somebody else's wants.
Come on, Amadeus.
Let's...
If you stumble, I'll give you a piggyback ride.
Fine. I'll be fine. Let's just
get it over and done with before I lose my nerve. Out of here. What about Hope's wings?
They are lying next to the bones of Henris.
How heavy do they feel as I test them?
You would say they're about half your body weight.
He turns to Magnus.
Magnus? Could you lift these, please? As a gesture to Hope's wings. They are slightly heavy, and I am weak sauce.
Are they heavy?
They weigh about half what I do.
So that's not heavy.
For you, I repeat, I am weak sauce.
No, you're awesome, Burger.
Put some weak sauce on your awesome burger.
Look, even it all out.
What I'm trying to say is I cannot lift these without falling down the stairs in a cacophony. And
okay, but it would be funny to watch. And it might cheer up Tanwyn.
I don't think so.
I see that smile on your face, Tanwyn. Don't think I don't see that grin on your face.
Magnus will.
Yeah. As you pick them up, you hear a clattering and creaking of metal as the Godkiller crumples, last of its structural integrity disintegrating under its own weight, having been pretty heftily destroyed by the discharge of a mini sun.
Is the ball containing the sun still in one piece?
Give me a straight d20 roll.
Natural 20.
Yeah, it is.
Woo!
It seems like this was the one bit of the machine that was properly smelted.
Oh,
whoa. And hey, second, not calling anyone out.
And second item of import for the, simply because I am a nice, kind, caring friend, the douchebag sword.
What about it?
Is it there?
Give me another d20 roll.
16.
It is. However, the blade has been broken. It all happened very quickly, but during it all, what are the crotal discharges full-on connected with the blade?
So I will take the ball containing the sun, drop it into the bag of holding.
You don't need more demon blades. You already have one.
And because I know that when she's not mourning the death of her god, she will invariably ask about the blade.
Of course, of course.
I will put the two halves of the blade also in the bag of holding. Because I figure she's going to find somebody to put it back together.
And it's going to be her.
Yeah. It's going to be put back together because, broken or not, she's going to want it. Just to say that she has it.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's still salty about those six that got necked earlier in the campaign.
Seven,
that one. She kicked out.
This is 8 and 9.
Anyway, so I'll put those in the bag of holding.
Actually, no, this is number 7.
And yeah, it's like, all right, let's see about these ruddy stairs. All right.
The final challenge.
Thankfully, going downstairs is a hell of a lot easier than going up.
It really is.
As you're going down through the windows that are along the stairs, you see the other towers. Each of them had baluster on them, and were, though you hadn't exactly been paying attention in the midst of everything, they had been firing at the harpies pretty well the entire time.
We were a little busy.
No duh. But as you get down, you are beaten to the ground by General Amethyst, who had been on one of the other towers during the defense. She is already organizing the medics and survivors to gather the dead and the injured to bring them down to the courtyard and, well, those who are alive to the infirmary. And as you're watching, you estimate it will become clear later, but about 60% of the people that were in the hold died.
Ouch.
And a further 20 to 30% are heavily injured, Amethyst being one of them, as she is currently standing there with her, giving out instructions with her right arm broken in a sling. Like, full on one of the metallic bones that makes up her body jutting out of the stone-like skin.
Ooh.
And her left eye having been gouged out with the magma-like blood that inhabits her body just running down her face.
Well, damn.
She, like you, did not come out of this unscathed.
You look as bad as I feel, Amethyst.
Well, my entire body is numb right now.
Right.
Well, good news, we appear to have won.
Which makes this all worth it.
Let's figure that out in the morning.
We'll just see what we can do for everybody right now.
I'm glad you all survived. She falls unconscious right in front of you.
I've still got like a whole bunch of dice left.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to put a quiet hand on her and just pump what's left into...
She stops bleeding.
So I don't call up medic!
Thankfully, the medical staff, pretty well unharmed, having been inside the infirmary...
And if I remember correctly, As soon as we left Hope, I'm like, lock down now.
Yeah, that single call basically saved the entire medical team.
At least the one team that I want to lock down and keep them up to tight, it's the medical team for afterwards.
I will say this, if you had not, there was a real possibility that Harpies got in, killed everyone, including Hope.
Don't worry about calling them, Amadeus. We've got to go there anyway, and I'm going to bend down and I'm just going to scoop Amethyst up.
The infirmary is... It is not meant to take this many people. Every single bed is packed.
I'm assuming like every single piece of spare real estate is currently got people lying, kneeling.
Like every gap between the beds, there is a stretcher.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Tanwyn's going to find somewhere for Amethyst.
As we enter the room, I will call over the nearest healer, even if they're working on someone else. I'm going to say, it's Amethyst. She's priority number one.
They look at you. Look at her. She is currently stable.
Mm.
She is not bleeding out.
But she does have a bone poking out of her skin.
She does have a bone poking out of her skin. There is only 6 members of the medical staff.
Ooh.
There are people who are more injured than Amethyst.
Yeah, that's why I pumped the healing into her to make sure that she wasn't going to...
However, like, you are essentially ignored.
Mm.
However, you do hear Hope call out as she offers her bed. I don't need this anymore. I'm just taking up space.
Magnus?
We've actually got something for you.
Would you kindly give the lady her wings back, please?
That will definitely mean that I'll take up... I will no longer need a bed if I have those.
So, yeah, I'll gesture for Magnus to hand over the wings.
Magnus will shuffle them, twist them. You know, like when you're trying to walk past someone in a corridor and you're both going and you're doing the shuffle? It's that, but with the wings.
Trying to get to her back and stick them back on.
She just turns around and there are basically these 2 long gash marks that basically just go from the top of her back more or less down the entire length of it.
Don't put them on the wrong way.
Magnus is absolutely holding them out the wrong way.
Double check that one. Double check that.
He's going to put them on and it's going to be like the left wing on the right side.
Between Magnus and Amadeus, we get them on correctly.
Mm, yes. And they seem to almost magnetize in a certain way. Like they repel when being brought close to the wrong side. And once they get close enough, you watch as bits of skin and sinew and muscle burst out of the severed sections on both her back and the wings and reach for each other, and basically her body pulls itself together.
A handy trick and no mistake.
Is it strange to say that that's the weirdest thing I've seen today?
Yes.
Right.
And as her wings reunite with her body, she gains access to her full suite of divine power. And in that moment, every single person in the infirmary feels at peace. Those who had been writhing in pain, those who had... basically, people are still injured. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. People are still injured and very much dying. But all the pain that people are feeling disappears. People are at peace.
It's almost like letting out a breath you didn't know you were holding.
Mm. Exactly. Thank you for getting these back to me. I very much wish this was under better circumstances at a happier moment.
As you are undoubtedly aware, this... really such a thing as a perfect moment.
But I do hope we'll be seeing you around more often.
At least for a little while, I will...
There's lots to hope for, after all.
Hope is my name. My role is peace.
Look.
And we'll be entering into an era of peace and all.
We hope.
On that note, that will be part of the reason I intend to hang around for a little bit. Because if I don't, my brother is going to run amok.
That being chaos...
Right.
Now, if you excuse me, I think we'll end towards that effort.
My brother has a tendency to come running after such conflicts, especially ones where tension will be very high. So I intend to, as thanks for returning my wings to me, do what I can to make sure that the resolutions are less chaotic and hopefully less violent.
Much appreciated. If you'll excuse us. Once we've deposited our boss on the bed, I think we've got some coordinating to do. We'll see to lend you a hand as much as we can.
I'll be fine. You take care of yourselves.
We always do.
We're surprisingly good at that, despite our quirks.
I can only imagine. And with that, she, before your very eyes, vanishes as she gains her abilities to go unseen once more.
Once we've deposited...
Tanwyn's going to lay Amethyst down gently in the bed and making sure to keep her arm protected.
It's a very makeshift sling that you imagine she probably threw together herself.
Yeah. Can I make a medicine check to see if I can do it better? And if I roll can't do it better, then I just won't do anything?
Go for it.
But let's just see. That's a natural 20 on fixing her arm.
Tanwin.
It's a metal bones, isn't it?
So it's like... metal bones. I know how to work with metal.
That you do. You know how to work with metal, and with the last few sparks of divinely appointed magic, you slide the bone back into her arm. And the gash is big enough that you can see where the break meets up.
And I will use my final lay on hands to close the wound.
Mm-hmm. As all of your divinely appointed power is what remains of it is spent healing your boss.
Can't imagine a better way to use it.
Right. Well, let's...
see what happens next, I suppose. That,
and let's go see if we can organise this chaos a little bit, yeah?
And on that note, we will jump forward a year.
Ooh.
During the intervening year, Hope does, in fact, work her power and bring a far more peaceful resolution to things than what may have been. One of the first things that happens after a vague sense of normalcy returns is a new political power is created, known as the United People's Council, who put Mana Dorn and Amethyst as Artifora's proxy on trial for the creation of the Veil to determine whether or not it was a necessary course of action. And after 3 months of debate, it was deemed, given the populace, it probably was. There is an understandable amount of frustration towards the fact that it exists, but at the end of the day, it was deemed necessary.
Mm.
And it is deemed that it should no longer be necessary and should not be reinstated.
Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag. Mana Dorn is deposed of.
Right.
Stripped of her title as Empress. And to a certain degree, stripped of her divine power. That said, she still continues to serve the people, serving as the Speaker of the United People's Council.
Right.
Amethyst, on the other hand, decides to retire from active duty. And now works as an instructor for the peacekeeper recruits. After basically the trial of the gods, the next action the United People's Council takes is to officially dissolve the Dernia. The past few months, it had kind of been recognized that it would probably happen, and most members had effectively quit or transferred to either the vanguards or the peacekeepers. But after the trial was concluded, the Dernia were officially dispatched. After fighting to survive Kvort's assault alongside one another, tensions between the dwellers and mortals never get as bad as it could have been. Partially
thanks to Hope.
Partially thanks to Hope. And whilst the mortals are still adjusting to the varying wild appearances and abilities of their dweller neighbors, many have accepted that this is fine. They are still my neighbors. We still know these people. They just... and in fact, for many, it has brought them closer, now seeing the real them. Not all is perfect, however. As several anti-dweller factions have been cropping up across Paradigm, they have yet to gain any real traction due to lack of organizational things, lack of shared information, all that kind of stuff. But the United People's Council, through the peacekeepers, are watching. Memorials have been put up across Paradon to each bearing the names of those who passed during the conflict with Kvort. Even those who fell under Kvort's influence were put on the murals, as the United People's Council deemed that they too were victims of Kvort. One name was not added to this mural: Henris Fulgor. It was deemed that he should be forgotten to history, and none except those who are at the hold know that he was even a part of this. And his bones were burned in the blue fires of Thelmor to prevent him ever coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is after about a year that we are going to check in with our party members. We're going to start with Magnus.
So Magnus is in a tavern,
mm-hmm.
and he is wearing his suit of armor.
This gaudy, ridiculous suit of armor.
And Magnus is telling the tale of the God Slayers.
I take it he's the foremost protagonist of this story, right?
No, he's like, yeah, there was a guy called Magnus there. He helped.
He was like the Mouse Knight, very brave.
Yeah, it's like the Mouse Knight, very brave.
Could you give me a performance check?
Oh, God. I can't boost this with...
and I'm not there to give you guidance, so... Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, this is going to be terrible. Oh, okay, shoot.
You say
pretty
that,
good.
And then
I am
you roll.
Not proficient in performance, and I do have a minus on charisma, so that is only 17.
17. Over the past year, have you just been traveling telling stories?
Yeah, Magnus has been sharing the stories that were imparted to him.
Magnus the Bard.
Hell yeah.
Or, as you, I suppose, the more accurate title, Magnus the Storyteller, is now a rather well-renowned figure amongst the common folk, as his tales are wonderfully magical and...
They come to life.
Yes, they come to life and are all equally as strange as the next.
You know he's spamming illusion as he's going through.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And I would say you have made quite the life for yourself doing this with a 17 tracking...
Hell yeah.
The past year of activity that you have done, to the point where, you know, some people are trying to reconcile the fact that this man telling these wild stories is in fact not lying to us.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Maybe Magnus starts every story with, "These stories are fantastic, but they're also true."
Yes. And any who wishes to check out the legitimacy of the can do so at the Memoria Sanctorum.
Yeah.
You'll see that this is authentic armor, not just...
And not just gaudy show armor.
It is also gaudy show armor, but it is real.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Yeah. And as you're performing one night in a tavern, there is a small child, maybe 7, 8, comes up to you after your stories are done.
"Hey, Mr. Magnus, can I be like you and go on adventures and stuff? How do I do that?"
"Well, you've got to fall into a swamp and contact a cursed item to unlock your powers, but I don't think there's a swamp near here."
"We kind of killed the last one."
"Yeah, so I guess you just have to eat your breakfast and get really strong."
"Oh, yeah, I can do that."
"When you can lift a pig by yourself."
"Whoa!
You're ready."
"Do you even lift though?"
Eyes of this kid just go wide and then very quickly fill with determination, as it's just like, you very clearly see the look of, "I have a goal now."
Yeah.
As this kid runs off and you hear him go, "Mom, Mom, I'm going to try and lift a pig."
They'll call him Tommy Pig Lifter. And I shall tell his story.
His mother just looks down at him and is just like, "What? What did you just say?"
I love that so much.
Kiddo,
congratulations, Magnus. There's going to be weird stories of Tommy the Pig Lifter.
I love Tommy the Pig Lifter. He's my new favorite hero.
And we are going to move away from that tavern to Amadeus. What has Amadeus been up to for the past year?
Well, he's finally done what he's been threatening to do for years.
Mm-hmm.
The moment the Dernier dissolved, he's like, "I'm going back to the library and I'm never leaving ever again." So yeah, he goes back to the Memoria Sanctorum and it's like, "Hey, caretaker, are you looking for an apprentice? And if so, I would like to fill that position, please."
Initially, he turns you down because about 100 people come to him every year with that exact same request. But after about a week, you get called out at about 6 in the morning.
"What, am I asleep? No."
No. Yeah. And you go to the stable of all places.
"Well, we've been to his office before."
I suppose you have.
"He paid us in his office and yes. stables before."
"He sure did."
"Yes."
"So."
And he looks you up and down. It's just like, "Well, if you want the opportunity to learn from me, you're going to have to help me with my duties then."
"I'm done with that."
"Good."
"All right."
He hands you a pitchfork. "We're moving hay."
The reality hits him.
Oh, dear gods. All right.
And for the next year, or rather, I suppose for the next several months, by the time all is said and done, your days are filled with hard labor and your nights are filled with arcane study.
So Magnus the Barbarian becomes a bard. Amadeus the spindly nerd becomes...
a custodian.
A custodian of all things. I'm loving the ironies of this ending. It's great.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Where do we find Tanwyn a year later?
Well, Tanwyn has settled just outside of Grandama, the mm-hmm. first city that we went
to. I absolutely knew that was where I was going to be.
She's just in between the Outer Walls and the False Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And she's opened a small blacksmithing operation.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly she services the farmers in the area, sharpening scythes, making pitchforks, that kind of thing, the odd horseshoe. But the Vanguard and the Peacekeepers know that when they are in need of a special blade, they will knock on her door, and her buddy Mortimer... The demon, the museum curator, together they will forge a special blade for worthy folk who ask for one.
Mm. In the year, you have built two.
Oh, yeah. They're very rare.
Very rare. One was for Amethyst.
Ah.
And the other was for a certain sunburnt pink human-ish man that is spending his time rebuilding the city of all things.
Hmm.
As Predavnik is the wielder of the other blade.
Oh, yeah, and Amadeus would have, when allowed by the caretaker, occasionally popped his head in to see how Predavnik is doing.
Slow. He is more or less single-handedly rebuilding the city.
While he's visiting Predavnik, he will occasionally, subtly for Amadeus, that is to say, not very subtle at all, because much like his two friends, Amadeus has the subtlety of a Brit, will occasionally use his magic to help lift a few things and, you know, while he's discussing things with Predavnik. And from what I can tell, they did share something of a love of, you know, and it's only for a couple of days at a time before the caretaker's like, come back now, please.
Yes, but yes, we will bounce back to Tanwyn's smithy as you get a knock on your door.
I come in. I'm not doing anything important.
I cannot come in too big.
Oh, all right, I'll come out to you then. And I'll open up my door and blink in the sunlight because I've kind of been sitting in a dark room.
As you see the familiar face of Yishna, the centipede thing from your first job.
Now, isn't this a surprise? Yishna, how are you doing?
You've seen her around a few times. She serves now as a seamstress in one of the textile stores, using her countless arms to sew many things at once.
Bet she's very good at it.
Yes.
Have you come for another collaboration?
No, I'm going on holiday.
How exciting.
And you see there's about 50 arm-length little children on her back.
Oh, it's the kids! The ones that we helped her find.
We're going back to my home world.
That's wonderful. It's always good to show the kids where you come from, am I right?
She nods vigorously. Three or four of her arms just reach forward and just pat and rub your head.
Yay. Tanwyn's used to it at this point. She just stands there and is like, whoa.
Thank you for helping me all those months ago.
It was my pleasure, truly. You've become a good friend, you know, recently, and I'm glad for it.
And with that, she heads off, and you have hundreds of tiny arms waving at you as Yishna and her brood head off. And like many of the dwellers, go back home. As
I'm on Kavort.
Yes, as worlds that have been freed from Kavort's tyranny are slowly unraveling themselves from his influence. And I would say a good 50 to 60% of the dwellers have returned back to their homeworlds. Many are staying because they're not wishing to leave the lives that they have built here. Many returning.
I know my homie Mortimer loves it here.
Yeah.
And the cat we met, I'm pretty sure, is staying with her child.
Yeah. Many are returning back to the worlds that they basically intense amounts of homesickness. And there is now a great deal of interplanar travel happening between Peridone and the worlds of the Dwellers. Though, at this point, Dwellers is still the commonly accepted name. Officially, they are the other planar...
Extraplanar...
beings.
Residents.
Yes. But at the end of the day, everybody just wants to be called people.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And we will end with the three of you uniting at the Memoria Sanctorum. Magnus and Tanwyn dragging Amadeus out from whatever hole he has found himself in.
I can walk, leave it.
Oh, we know you can walk by now. Look at all these muscles you've got.
Yes.
Damn, you're yoked, bruh.
Well, he's yoked. We're going to have a competition.
No,
arm wrestling.
No.
And what a perfect time for competition it is. As you go out into the Festival of Prismatic Wings, the memorial festival for the event that happened 1 year ago this day, rainbow streamers and false dragon wings adorn many a people as they celebrate the god that sacrificed itself to protect this land, as well as every other person who fell. And the three heroes who managed to do, well, basically everything.
The impossible.
Truly. Never having their accolades ever properly revealed, walk out amongst the crowd that are none the wiser to celebrate the victory that they had 1 year ago.
Huzzah!
Yay! Good job, good job, good job!
Yes. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
That's a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
If you guys haven't played TTRPG before, hey, give it a go. We're from the Waikato Roleplaying Guild. We're always looking for new people, and we've always got games going on. So hit us up anytime and see what you can find. Try it. You'll like it.
We swear.
Thanks for listening, and look forward to the next season. Ooh. Coming in X months.
About that. So there will be a break, as we will be saying goodbye to Scott, Joe, and Liz here. I will be staying around, and I will be bringing in a new trio to be our cast of heroes for the next story. If all goes well, we should be airing season 2 of Tales from the Guild early September, hopefully.
How exciting.
And it won't be The Shadows of Paladin.
No, it will be a new story.
Do you think you can give us a little teaser?
Oh, how about a good bit of gothic fantasy?
Oh, now that sounds something like right up my alley.
And I already have a working title, which may or may not be the final title.
What's that?
Well, the players have to escape from Morteria, don't they?
Ooh. Ooh.
But yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us your time, your attention, and just thank you.
Yes, what a fun for us, and we hope you've had as much fun listening to our shenanigans as we have had doing our shenanigans.
This is Zebedee Swanson, GM, host, and storyteller of Tales from the Guild. There is no more to this story, but there will be another when next we meet.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.